Richard, your views, they're not too much different than the views of George here and William, are they?
Well, yes and no. You know, what's interesting is to hear independent researchers looking at the same data set and coming to similar conclusions, but some are different in detail. And, you know, I've often said on this show and many others that science is nothing if it's not prediction. When I wrote Monuments, and it's now in its, fifth edition, I guess,
mm-hmm.
you know, many, many years ago, first edition came out in 1987.
That's when I saw you on cable, by the way.
On CNN or, I said some things in Monuments. For instance, there's a chapter I devote to the search for a terrestrial connection, because to my mind, it was inconceivable that we could have a humanoid face and we could have, you know, the history of evolutionary biology on Earth is given to us by science, people like Gaylord Simpson at Harvard, and that you could have an independent reinvention of a humanoid species right next door, the thing you were grappling with over the last hour. And so I made a rather bold prediction that there had to be some deep, intrinsic, fundamental connection between what happened on Mars, if it was real, and what's happened on Earth in terms of the iconography, the monuments, the rituals, the ceremonies, the history, the myths, the legends, all of that, that somehow these two places had to be connected if the face on Mars, the monuments of Mars, are real. We now fast forward the film to, you know, mid-2005, which is how many years after 1987? Somebody please do that for me.
18 years.
18 years.
Yes.
We've got two guys, George and Bill, who have done their homework. You're listening to two scholars in separate but related fields that elegantly come together in these studies. And what they've done is put meat on the bones to my, you know, out-on-a-limb predictions. They have found the terrestrial connection, and they have found it in spades. I hope everybody listening tonight gets how phenomenal this program is, because we are now light years beyond NASA's stupid, oh, it's just a trick of light and shadow.
No, they could simply, they might be just saying that, though, Richard.
Well, of course they're saying that. We know that. The evidence, the proof. I mean, the night that George announced to me that they were going to be doing a book was the night that I had Kinsea join me on a show with Art. This was after the 2001 mail-in full frontal image had been taken after much controversy in the spring of 2001, where we finally had a crystal clear, you know, modern technology Mars Surveyor full face-on image at highest resolution, 1.4 meters per pixel. And there is no doubt that this thing is a face to any objective viewer.
Well, I'm going to play a moment here as if I have seen you at a conference speak, which I do so often, and you're so eloquent. I'm going to sit back in the audience, Mr. Hoagland, and I'm going to watch you as the panel director chat with George and William about this, and I'm just going to sit back in awe and have you entertain me and have you give us information on Cydonia. So,
oh, you're so kind.
Take it away.
George, all right,
you're going to replace Art Bell?
Say again?
I guess you're going to be replacing Art Bell.
I guess I'm replacing Art, yeah. George, as
nobody will replace Art Bell.
As an artist, as someone who has a history and the study of art, you know, you've got degrees, you've done a lot of your homework, how would you view what you found on Mars in terms of traditional art history, in terms of why people do things, how they express themselves, the kinds of messages that art, if it's done by humans, is supposed to communicate? In other words, compare what you found on Mars to traditional art examples on Earth.
Well, the structures on Mars are very traditional.
Now, don't you find that remarkable?
Right. When you compare them to known terrestrial cultures, we're showing that the face on Mars is a legitimate two-faced work of art. Not only that, it's a geoglyphic structure that's possibly part of a entire global writing system that we're finding on Mars. And it's just amazing.
Okay, when you say global writing system, can you get into that a little better? What do you mean by writing system? I mean, we're not seeing letters here.
Right, well, we're viewing these geoglyphs as more than just artwork, that they're probably part of some type of language. Some of the other structures that we're finding not only have the bifurcated face motif, but there's also other elements and more symbolism and decorative elements that could be related to a type of a writing system.
Now, we have parallels here for that?
If you compare the Mesoamerican writing system to some of these geoglyphs that we're finding on Mars, the parallel is overwhelming.
Have you possibly found anything similar to the Mayan numbering system in these glyphs? Or have you looked?
Well, just below the face, we found another bifurcated geoglyph with a what we believe represents a rabbit on one side and a looks like a simian-type face on the other. And in the rabbit headdress, there appears to be like bar and dot type numbering system.
Which is the classic Mayan way of writing.
Right, which
numbers.
Relates to 18 rabbit. In the Maya culture, the Lord 18 rabbit would have on his forehead, he would have two bars, which would be the Maya writing system with the dots numbering 18. Now, we identified that half of the structure as 18 rabbit, and on the adjoining side, is this simian creature, which has this smoking glyph coming out of the top of the head, which, again, paralleling to Mesoamerican culture, that represents smoke monkey. Now, the monkey and the rabbit, not only were they intimately connected in Mesoamerican lordships, you had 18 rabbit and you had his predecessor was smoke monkey. So the parallels there were pretty startling. And not only that, even in the Mesoamerican culture, the scribes, you had the rabbit scribe and the monkey scribe, so the parallels there are pretty interesting.
Bill, as a geomorphologist, which is a guy that deals with landforms, shapes, erosion processes, the geology of how mountains are formed and how they slough away, what are the odds that these glyphs, these intelligent-looking designs, could just be total chance, that you guys are incredibly imaginative projectionists, but you're not really looking at anything real down there?
Well, we think that just by the volume that we have, as I stated earlier, we have over two dozen examples in our book.
Over how much area?
On
Mars.
Basically, we've just looked at the immediate Cydonia area that you described as the city, and a few other mesas like the face and a couple surrounding the face. But just in that small area, and I'm not exactly sure what the extent is, maybe 10 miles by 10
miles. It's about the size of the Bay Area in San Francisco.
Okay.
Right. So every single structure that we've looked at we've found something that we can connect to Earth. So the odds of that, I think, even finding two or three is pretty astronomical, and we're over two dozen.